Hello, it's Friday, October 13th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Yes, it's Friday. Friday the 13th, so don't walk under any ladders. Don't let any black cats cross your path. And it's good that we're moving into the weekend. What we're going to do today, a lot of you probably already know, if you went to the Wing TV homepage, there's an explosive, very damning article that was written in, I believe, 1999, going into the year 2000, about Alex Jones. It was written by Shelley Tumbleson. And in this show today, we're going to go over some of the things that was said in this article, especially an incident that Alex Jones has wanted buried forever. And this is the night that he got his ass kicked in a parking lot and then threatened to, or maybe he did, snitch to the FBI.
He did.
The FBI that he says he has relatives in. So,
Shelley Tumbleson is a cable access producer and actually worked at the same station as Alex Jones in Austin, Texas. So this guy knows him firsthand, and it's curious that this doesn't get talked about more on the Internet, but, you know, the level of suppression on this Internet is just amazing these days.
Right. And we tried to contact Shelley Tumbleson, but it seems like he wants to stay as far removed from this as possible, well, even though he's been asked to take this site down, right?
I did call the number I had for him, and I got to speak to his dad, a very nice man. And Shelley's had some trouble with Alex over this whole website thing that he has up with these articles on it. And he doesn't want to have to engage Alex anymore. So it's totally understandable if you read the accounts that he describes.
But Wing TV is certainly keeping it alive. Now, we want everyone to stay tuned to listen to these accounts of the night Alex got his ass kicked. But first, we want to put this in perspective in the sense that what Alex Jones and people that are in his little cult, and that's what it is, we want to go over this concept of cults and cult members. And if you've ever spoken to anybody that's recently freed themselves from a cult, they have this sense of liberation that's indescribable. They realize that their mind had been controlled, and a lot of times their body also. But they'd been controlled for so long that when they finally got out of the cult, there's this freedom to them that just liberates them from everything. On the other hand, if you've ever met anyone that's in a cult, which I have, you'll see these zombie-eyed automatons that only have, that are only able to express themselves through groupthink.
Or as Mr. Tumbleson describes, Alex's groupies are only able to look at him through unveiled eyes.
Right.
And we see a lot of similarities in the observations of Shelley Tumbleson from several years ago of Alex Jones to how things we've observed today.
Exactly.
And over the last few years since that time in Alex Jones. And the comparison is remarkably, eerily similar.
As you'll see in a few minutes. But first, what we want to do is give a couple examples of the type of behavior of those people that run cults in comparison to Alex Jones. First, the leaders are delusional. Look at Charles Manson. He had Helter Skelter. Look at Marshall Applewhite. He had this whole concept that his people were going to jump on the Hale-Bopp comet.
Yeah, they also have this belief that they alone hold the divine truth.
Exactly.
That they have this connection to God. Hey, does that sound familiar?
Yeah. And Jim Jones, he had this whole thing where they were going to go down to Guyana and create this utopia. Well, Alex Jones recently said that God told him to bullhorn the Bilderbergs.
Uh-huh.
He's also compared himself to John the Baptist, the founding fathers, and he compared himself to Moses parting the Red Seas. So as you can see, this delusion extends to Alex. How about money? Charles Manson, whenever they brought new family members in, the first thing they had to do is throw their wallet into this communal basket. They also took all the credit cards, and they told these people to do everything they could to steal money from their family members or anybody else that they could. The Hare Krishnas, a very famous cult. You've seen all them. They stand on the street corners or they're in the airports shaking their tambourines, wanting to get money out of you. Jim Jones in Guyana required all of his followers to sign over their Social Security checks to him. And how about Oral Roberts, the televangelist cult founder, who said that if his congregation didn't raise $6 million for him by a certain date, God was going to call him home. Well, what's Alex Jones' favorite mantra? Buy my video. Buy my video. Plus, we heard firsthand from Michael Corbin when he substituted for Alex Jones, and Alex's wife called him on the final day and was screaming at him because he didn't raise enough money for Alex's videos.
Yeah, Shelley Tomlinson even has links to articles in the Austin Chronicle that have been written about Alex Jones, particularly an editorial that was written in which they described him like this. Jones is an articulate, sometimes hypnotic, often just annoying conspiracy theorist. Now, the word hypnotic is the one I want you to pay attention to in that sentence, because that's how spellbinders are, and cult leaders are often hypnotic and articulate and, driven, I guess is a good word. And if you want to learn more about spellbinders, go to the Political Ponderology book on our website by Andrew Lobachevsky, and you'll find all about spellbinders.
Another characteristic of these cult leaders is their apocalyptic visions, their end-time visions,
yeah,
and how they're very violent. Look at Charles Manson. He talked about this race war, and everything came from the Book of Revelations and the Beatles, and he was going to take all his followers to the desert, and they'd hide in a bottomless pit until this race war erupted, and then they would come out 144,000 strong and save the world. Marshall Applewhite, his violent vision was that everybody committed suicide. Jim Jones down in Guyana, if you ever heard his final rambling speech, it was just filled with apocalypse, Armageddon, end times. And what did they all do? They committed suicide too. Also, there were the CIA gunmen in this mass suicide murder. If you look at the preachers on TV, it's all revelations and the rapture and fire and brimstone. And what does Alex Jones have? His New World Order, police state and violence and Big Brother and all of this stuff. So he fits right in with all the others. Also, you have to ask, why do these cult members, why are they attracted to these people, these con men, these cult leaders? Well, it's because they fill a need. With Charles Manson, he got these throwaway kids and hitchhikers along the highway, and he fed them drugs. Jim Jones preyed upon the poor blacks in San Francisco, and he promised them a utopia in Guyana. The televangelists prey on the people that feel powerless in the face of evil.
And Shelley Tomlinson says that Alex Jones panders to the feeble-minded.
Yeah.
We've said the least common denominator audience, but
right,
feeble-minded will work.
So the televangelists tell them that they're the chosen people. Well, Alex Jones tells everyone they're the only ones in the world that know the truth because of Alex Jones. Even Applewhite, Marshall Applewhite from the Heaven's Gate cult, he preyed upon these frustrated geeks that had this Star Trek science fiction vision. And Alex Jones, he goes after those people who feel powerless in light of this evil government, and he's going to be the one that saves them from Big Brother. Finally, there's a lot of evidence that these cult members have direct ties to the government. Charles Manson, while he was in prison, underwent quite a number of mind control government experiments at Vacaville Prison. Jim Jones had been a CIA operative since the 1960s, and a lot of these cults nowadays are nothing more than an extension of the old MKUltra experiments that the CIA did. Now, Alex Jones, we all know, runs a very vast Israeli protection racket, and the only time he really identifies the government is through these faceless, generic, shadowy groups like the Illuminati or the New World Order or the globalists. He doesn't pinpoint anyone because he's running a protection racket. So, if you are able right now to see the similarities between these cult members and Alex Jones, you have to ask yourself, are you one of the cult members that's fallen prey to what he's doing?
So. Yeah, it's just amazing. I'm looking over my notes here and noticing the comparisons in behavior, the observations of Tomlinson compared to what we've observed of Alex Jones.
Yeah.
He says, Tumbleson says, Jones uses freedom and the Constitution as straw men, props against which to place all the conspiracy theories invading our daily life. Now, let's just say here that Tumbleson doesn't subscribe to everything Alex Jones says. He thinks Alex raises some good points about some issues, but he says he doesn't offer proof about most of the stuff that he puts out and unnamed sources, and the vagary that we always talk about, you know, these shadowy enemies that he refuses to name. He also points out that Alex won't point the finger at that certain group we're not allowed to talk about.
And we're going to cover all this stuff.
Not supposed to.
I have to say, first off, that I didn't even particularly like the writing style that Shelley Tumbleson used in this. I mean, it's not the way I would approach it, but we're going to go through his article, which is named Alex Jones, Another Paranoid, Uneducated, Unemployed White Male with an Inferiority Complex, Oh Joy. And on the first page, here's how Tumbleson describes Alex Jones. Alex Jones is an attention-craving, delusional, disgruntled, uneducated white male who ultimately believes in nothing. Now, Lisa, let's stop there for a second, because we know someone that's an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And this person is very well aware of Alex Jones. Now, Alex Jones, of course, is the good Christian, right? The good Christian like George Bush is the good Christian. But this atheist has told us on more than one occasion that what?
That Alex Jones doesn't believe in anything.
This guy is very, very clinical in his analysis. And he said from every time he's heard Alex Jones, the hyper-Christian, right, on the side of good, riding in on his white stallion, this guy says Alex Jones is every bit as much an atheist as he is because he doesn't believe in a damn thing except Alex Jones.
What about this observation? Jones preys upon the feeble-minded by instilling half-truths, lies, and paranoia into them.
Yeah.
Does he instill paranoia into people?
Well, Lisa,
I would say.
Well, let's address that. Because a couple days ago, you spoke with a woman on the telephone. She called here, and we're not saying this to make fun of her.
No.
But she's a woman that freed herself from the cult of Alex Jones. Yet you could see...
But she hasn't been able to free herself from the paranoia that he instilled within her.
And tell everybody the kind of things she was saying to show you what Alex Jones is fostering in the mind of his cult members.
Well, she's become disillusioned with Alex Jones, but so much so, and she's so paranoid about him now, that she thinks that he's actually taken on the identity of someone else.
Yeah. How about, like, the FEMA camps, and they were going to come get her?
Yeah, she kept talking about, asking me questions about, what are the camps for, and they're going to all come and take us away, they're going to, who are they for, and what are they doing with them? And, I mean, I was trying to say, listen, you know, keep your head about you, keep your senses about you, there's no sense in... you know, freaking out and being hyper-paranoid. But it all makes sense when you know that somebody's been listening to hour after hour after hour.
Right.
Of fearmonger Jones, who Shelley Tumbleson calls Jarhead Jones, by the way. And, you know, you might not listen to Alex Jones anymore, but think of how long the paranoia lasts in his wake.
Yeah, and we always kind of joke about it, and we say, well, after somebody listens to Alex Jones for 3 hours, they run in their bedroom and hide under the bed. But if you listen to this psychic driving, hyper-paranoia, fear-mongering, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, 4 weeks a month, 52 weeks a year, you end up becoming like this woman who thinks FEMA's going to break into her house, take her and throw her in a concentration camp. And let me tell you, FEMA isn't today or next week or next month going to break into anybody's house and throw them in a concentration camp. Is this a possibility for the future? Yes. But what Alex Jones is doing is making his cult members so hyper-paranoid that they are afraid to even walk out their front door because they think FEMA and the black-booted thugs are going to drag them off to the concentration camp.
The article in the Austin Chronicle goes on to describe the ongoing controversy between Alex Jones and fellow producers at the cable access station. And the feeling was, according to this article, that despite his beliefs, his overriding goal was self-promotion.
Well, now, absolutely.
Can we relate to that? Now compare it to today. Yeah. Buy my video.
Yeah. Whenever he's on George Norrie's show, we always would time how many times he would say his website address per minute, and sometimes he'd throw it in there 5-6 times a minute, just so everybody could make sure they knew where to find Alex. But Shelley Tumbleson,
he actually kind of uses the buy my video thing, only he calls it buy my crockumentary.
Yeah, instead. He calls them his crockumentaries. Now, Shelley Tumbleson ended up having some disputes with Alex Jones. And the first time was when he was doing his cable access show. This is Shelley Tumbleson. He put a little logo on the screen. Yeah, that said, "The Access Show Without a Delusional Conspiracy Theory," okay? So, Alex, I guess, flipped out about this. And he went to look for Shelley, but instead he found...
Shelley was in the restroom, and there was a 14-year-old kid standing there.
Yeah, a 14-year-old boy.
And so, Alex confronts the kid.
Yeah, his name was Sean, and he comes up to this 14-year-old, and he says, "Did you conspire to buy that shirt, or did your mother buy it for you?" And Shelley Tumbleson said, this is verbatim, "Alex is pushing around a 14-year-old boy and saying, 'Did you conspire to buy that shirt, or did your mother buy it for you?'" And the kid kind of shrugs his shoulder, and he says, "Yeah, my mom bought it for me." You know, just like dicking with Alex. So Alex now, this is again verbatim, says, "Did someone conspire to make her buy it?" So see, with Alex, everything in the world is a conspiracy. Everything is a conspiracy. And this kid's like, what kind of freaking lunatic is this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Tumbleson goes on to say, "Jones does not offer political power solutions. His only solution is to encourage ever-increasing paranoia and buy my video."
Yeah. So anyway, he concludes the story. Shelley Tumbleson says, it takes an utter and complete coward to antagonize a 14-year-old. But what really set me off was... And then he continues on the next spot, where I guess Alex did this show where he took a 60-minute segment and then put his own commentary over top of it. Okay?
Yeah, it was like a mainstream media news segment. He dubbed over the original audio, and so all you heard was Alex, and the video was the mainstream news video.
Yeah.
And I guess Shelley Tumbleson thought this was kind of unethical to do.
Right. So what he did at this cable access station was Shelley Tumbleson posted a letter on the bulletin board. And this is for all the hosts, the producers,
the technical...
How they
communicated with one another.
Right. And the reason he posted it was that he thought that the station was at risk of a lawsuit because Alex has taken this 60 Minutes or this mainstream media show and putting his own audio over top of it without permission from anyone.
Right.
So we're not going to read the letter, but it goes on for a couple pages. But he posts it on the bulletin board. Well, what happens is that Alex Jones comes by, sees this letter, and instead of reading it, instead of saying, "Hey, you know, maybe he has a point," what does he do?
He pulls it off the bulletin board.
He rips it down.
But Shelley Tumbleson had made copies of it, so every week he would put up a new copy, and every week Alex would pull it down when he was out of sight. So
he wouldn't do it in front of Shelley.
Yeah, in fact, Tumbleson said there's still letters and posts up there on that board supporting Alex Jones that have stayed up there. But every time Shelley Tumbleson would put something up there, his letter, it got pulled down.
Yeah. Now, what does this remind people of? How many letters, and actually, or how many articles, the first thing that really set us off, that pricked our ears up about Alex Jones was what? How he was censoring articles.
Well, look, this is what the producers that he used to work with said. "A number of ACAC producers think that Jones' respect and support for freedom of speech ends with those voices with which he personally agrees. Jones loves to rant. Jones is the hero of most of his rants." Does this sound familiar to anybody?
So, Alex Jones is all for freedom of speech, as long as your freedom of speech agrees with him.
Well, listen to this. Producers were also concerned about how actively Jones was monitoring other shows, especially those he doesn't like. Jones freely admitted to filing claims against other broadcasters over the years.
Yeah. So, the first thing that set us off about Alex Jones was that he was censoring articles. He actually censored an article that linked to Lisa Giuliani's article. He went in without the author's permission, without asking him beforehand, without anything. Just censored out this link. And then we proved earlier this year that not only did Jeff Rentz censor articles,
yeah.
but also then after that, Alex Jones censored it even further. This caused so much outrage that 17 different people in the alternative
right.
media wrote a letter or wrote their input about
this. Yeah, they weighed in on this subject. Also, quoting Alex, and I guess this is borrowed from the Austin Chronicle as well, Alex said, vigilance and freedom are the main defenses of liberty. And the Austin Chronicle says, but he doesn't seem to respect his own opinion or anyone else's.
Yeah. So when Shelley Tumbleson puts this letter up on a bulletin board, instead of allowing everyone to read it, which is freedom of expression, every time, every week, Tumbleson put it up there, Alex had come and rip it down. Just like Alex does if somebody calls into his radio show. And if they say something he doesn't like or he doesn't agree with, before he posts it in his archives, he goes in and censors us out. We've proven this beyond any shadow of a doubt. He also goes into articles and censors them. So like Lisa said earlier in the show, Alex was doing this stuff back in the 1990s still, and he hasn't changed his modus operandi
yeah.
one bit.
Well, according to this article in the Austin Chronicle, the anti-Jones camp claims that if a fellow producer crosses Jones, he will watch their program obsessively until he finds a violation and turn that person in.
Narcs on him.
Seeming to support that contention, Jones' producer, Mike Hansen, turned over dozens of hours of videotape of another show to the Chronicle and said he had more.
Yeah. Now, doesn't this remind you of the time we appeared on Frank Whalen's show? And we were talking about Alex Jones' censorship. Well, who calls in but the very same Mike Hansen? And shortly thereafter, every one of these, or almost every one of the people in Radio Free Austin, the micro-broadcasters, guess what they did? They dumped Frank's show
yeah.
from the Radio Free yeah. Austin schedule. Because why? Because Alex Jones contributes financially to all of them. He has them all in his pocket.
Yeah, we were told by one micro-broadcaster that Alex is whining and dining like 15 or 16 micro-broadcasters, and they do what he wants.
Yeah, so if somebody says anything that's contrary to Alex, anti-Alex, what he does is he puts the pressure on them and they cancel them out from the Radio Free Austin playlist. How convenient, how Big Brother. Now, Lisa, let's get to it. Let's get to the big fight. And right here, let's set this up that...
The parking lot?
The parking lot fight. This is
called the parking lot incident.
Yeah, and this is notorious in Austin alternative media. And, you know, instead of telling the story, why don't we just... I'm going to have Lisa read it. And this...
Okay, a fellow producer related this story to Shelley Tumbleson. Tumbleson almost would have... Well, he would have been there, but he didn't want to be where Alex Jones was, so somebody else told him about it that works with him. Alex challenged a man to step outside into the parking lot. This man had ridiculed him, I guess called him a jarhead.
Yeah.
I mean, it was common there to call him Jarhead Jones.
Yeah, and this guy would call into Alex's show and prank him, okay?
Yeah, and so Alex didn't like him calling in. He would do it to all the shows, but apparently he really liked calling in and pranking Alex. And so he challenges this guy to step outside. This man, Steve, they're calling him Steve, took him up on it. The guy said, okay, let's go. Now, Alex said...
Just read it verbatim. Just read it.
Okay, he said, he challenged a man to step outside. The man took him up on it and whipped him like the little bitch that he is. Not being able to accept defeat, Alex claimed that four men with knives attacked him to stifle his free speech. Okay, many of us have been that humiliated in our lifetimes. But then, he got Daddy to call in a favor, and he actually got the FBI to go to this defunct bookstore, now defunct, named Fringeware, to find this guy's address. He did this by concocting a story of the guy, supposedly the guy that he was in a fight with, being one of the leaders of a terrorist organization, and he also made charges that this guy had child pornography. Now, remember
yeah.
when Alex was at the border?
Uh-huh.
The Canadian border? What was one of the things he said that they suspected him of, supposedly?
Yeah.
Having child pornography on his computer.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, and why would this keep coming up like
but
that?
But there's something else. Here, look, when the cops came, the cops were called, okay? When the cops came in, of course, Alex was the one bleeding all over the place. When the cops came, Alex was ranting and changing his story with each breath. Began to talk of his importance and his family's wealth and his relatives in the FBI.
Wait, let me read this before we get to it. there's another part of it. This is a long article, and it goes all over the place.
Yeah, we're trying to pick excerpts.
Okay, so upon arriving, C and company, a total of three guys, were talking to whoever was at the desk, and Sir Jarhead, the booger elf, a.k.a. Jarhead, recognized his voice and began to berate him as best his little mind could manage. C is actually very smart, and he was calmly pointing out Jarhead's swelling example of fascism. Jarhead became louder and louder, begging C to step outside. This is when Steve said, and I quote, "I can't believe you're acting like this because he called you a jarhead." He spun around and focused his fury on this guy. When he said, "Step outside and I'll whip you like my bitch," this guy said, "Okay, let's go," and led the way. Okay? Jarhead then hesitates, then followed, as did Charlie from this guy and another guy named Kanya. Okay? So Jarhead's next, this is all right from the article.
I think that's a woman.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, Jarhead's next brave move was to announce that he had a gun and began foraging around in his truck. Steve said, "Oh, now you're going to shoot me, you pussy?" Jarhead came from the truck with his hand in his pocket and slowly advanced towards Steve. Steve retreated two or three steps, then said, "Then shoot me," and promptly nailed Jarhead with a right hook. They both just stood there for what seemed like a long time. Then Steve let many more fly. Jarhead tried to throw one. That's right, one punch, which grazed Steve's nose, like flicking at a booger. At this point, Iggy came out of the studio. Jarhead saw him and screamed for him to go get Bob. So they went in to get reinforcement for Alex. So Bob came running out to see Jarhead bleeding profusely and shouting, "They jumped me with knives!" Charlie disputed this, so Jarhead spit blood on him. So Charlie, bless him, punched him right in a mason jar of a head. So when the cops came, Jarhead was ranting and changing his story with each breath and began to talk of his importance and his family's wealth and his relatives and
the
FBI. Wow.
Hmm.
Now, Lisa, a few months ago, we got criticized.
It's such a classic visual.
Yeah. Yeah, here's Alex bleeding all over the place, ranting and raving that he's going to call.
No, the part about the guy, you know, the guy's punching him in the nose.
Yeah.
After Alex spit on him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Alex spits blood on him, so the guy pops him another one in the head. Yeah. So,
yeah, we did. We did get a lot of heat. See, we actually were attacked.
Yeah.
By psychos. We really were attacked by a bunch of thugs on the internet.
And as we said,
and we did have to call the law. But look what Alex did years ago.
Yeah. And see, as I said, anybody, any man out there that would see the type of abuse that Lisa had to endure, if this happened to their mother, their wife, or
it's
their sister
happening.
Or daughter. Yeah, and it's still happening. If this would happen to any of their wives or mothers or daughters or sisters, they would do the absolute thing. Yet all of Alex Jones's little groupies conveniently seem to forget that Alex was the one that challenged this guy to a fight.
Oh, by the way, Alex knows that people have been reading this parking lot incident, this guy Tumbleson's website, synesthetic.com, and Tumbleson's friend told him Alex wants this removed. And, of course, it's not still removed, but just in case it is, we have it on our website.
Yeah, exactly. And this one won't be removed. So Alex challenges the guy to a fight. Alex is the one popping off to him. Alex is the one that challenges him to go out in the parking lot.
Yeah, Alex started the whole thing, and it reminds me of Bolin.
Yeah.
With the police.
Yeah. So when they go out, when the guy says, "Yeah, let's go out in the parking lot," then Alex is taken aback, and he knows that if he doesn't go out, then he's going to look like a big pussy. So what does Alex do? He says he has a gun in his truck.
And so what does he do? The finger in the pocket?
Yeah. like 5-year-old kids used to do when they're playing cowboys and Indians. So this guy whoops Alex's ass. Alex is bleeding all over the place.
And it turns out that the people didn't get charges pressed again. Alex tried to get them in trouble with the law. He made up a story about the guy being a leader of a terrorist organization and having child porn to get the feds drawn into it. And the feds ended up looking into it and dropping the matter.
Yeah. So now all of...
So where's your proof, Alex?
Yeah. So all of, why aren't all these people talking about Alex Jones calling the FBI?
Yeah.
Alex Jones being a narc. Alex Jones,
you know,
being a snitch.
Because when you're one with God, like Alex is, you can do anything you want and people won't bat an eye.
Yeah. Now, this is a notorious story in Austin, Texas. Everybody in the alternative media and the Patriot movement knows about it.
Well,
and
wait,
now
we have to tell Alex's side of it.
Okay.
According to Alex's version, Alex got jumped by four thugs with knives.
Yeah.
Now, he walked away from this uncut and okay, except he was bleeding because he got punched in the nose, and he got popped a few times by the guy that he mouthed off to begin with. But if you're jumped by four men with knives, how do you come away from that without a cut on you?
And what Alex's people did then
was a knife cut.
Was start calling all these little radio shows and telling Alex's side of the story.
That's what happened the next day. Yeah. He had all his minions call every radio
his
and access
members.
Show to tell his side of the story.
That Alex was jumped by four terrorists.
And then when Tumbleton's, the anti-Alex camp, tried to call those same shows to present the other side of the story, they were not allowed to.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Just like Radio Free Austin.
That doesn't happen now, does it?
Just like Wing TV is banned from GCN. Just like Wing TV is banned from RBN.
The edict has come down from RBN.
Yeah.
John Stadtmiller has given all those hosts there the edict that we're not allowed on that network. Instead, he wants to post old stuff written by psychopaths and anonymous hit pieces off of Rentz's site, Rentz, the pathological, proven, compulsive liar.
And we're going to talk more about John Stadtmiller and his little banning of Wing TV next week.
So I guess wants to be hooked up, associated, and linked with the psychos.
Well, and the last time when we brought this information out about Alex Jones and all of the psychopaths, John, instead of siding with the side of right and doing what was proper and denouncing them, he said Wing TV isn't allowed to talk about this stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Yet he then goes and reprints it on his site. John, we have a lot of talking to do about you next week. And how what he's doing is running another protection racket for Alex Jones, just like GCN is.
Did you read this part about Alex Jones wanted to convince this person at the cable access, another producer, of his version of the events? So as the months went by, according to Tumbleson's account, Alex kept hammering this guy, trying to coerce him into believing his version of events. And the guy really, or the producer really knew what had happened, knew the reality of the story. And the person ended up telling Alex Jones, I know what really happened, and if you don't shut up, I'm going to call every radio and TV show in town to tell them what really happened.
Yeah. So he called Alex out. Now, another part of this article, Tumbleson quotes something called the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of Mental Disorders, 4th edition. Now, it's long, and we're not going to read
it. Well, there's a paragraph
read
there,
it.
Though.
Yeah.
Right.
But there is one part right at the end where he goes on and on and on and on.
Tumbleson found this passage the year before he wrote this, and he said, I thought it had Alex Jones written all over it. It describes the features of a manic episode. And he says he's not an expert at diagnosing these things, but he said, listen to this and see what you think. Inflated self-esteem is typically present, ranging from uncritical self-confidence to marked grandiosity, and may reach delusional proportions. Individuals may give advice on matters about which they have no special knowledge, for example, how to run the United Nations. Despite lack of any particular experience or talent, the individual may embark on writing a novel or composing a symphony or seek publicity for some impractical invention. Grandiose delusions are common. Example, having a special relationship to God.
Okay, wait, stop right there.
Or some public figure from the political, religious, or entertainment world.
Now, what did Alex just do a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago?
He said, bullhorned the Ground Zero.
No, but he said God commanded him to bullhorn the Bilderbergs.
Right. Well, why else would he do it?
Yeah, so Alex has this special relationship with God, the God of all the problems in the world. And all the people he could speak to.
Here, listen to this. Manic speech is typically pressured, loud, rapid, and difficult to interrupt. Individuals may talk nonstop, sometimes for hours on end, and without regard for others' wishes to communicate. Who can talk for hours on end, and who's hard to talk over?
Yeah.
When you call into his show.
But see, there's
even
a part.
Even the guest he has on.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the biggest criticisms is Alex never stops. But here's the big thing. Right at the end of this thing, Tumbleson says, judging from his behavior, I suspect Jones of being afflicted with one or a variety of mental ailments, but a cocaine habit might induce the same type of behavior. Now, this is something very interesting, because for years now, years, we've been hearing all kind of reports from people about a certain substance that certain people in this whole Austin cabal were using and dealing and on and on and on. And right now, we're not going to say a whole lot more than that. But...
and these are someone else's observations from several years ago. When Shelley Tumbleson first met Alex Jones, he was in his 20s, but Shelley didn't know that. And when he saw Alex, he said thought it was a 40-something-year-old guy.
Let me read this. This is from Tumbleson. It says, as a side note, I thought I would add something to the story of my first meeting of Jarhead. I thought he was in his mid-40s. He looked tired, worn, stretched. The saying of ridden hard and put away wet comes to mind. Up close, he looks like someone who's done a few too many yards of cocaine in his life, which would nicely explain his behavior, by the way. Then someone told me he's in his 20s. Draw your own conclusions. Now, this is from Shelley Tumbleson, and very, very interesting. And you know what?
Well, Tumbleson points out, Victor, that, you know, just because someone's popular doesn't mean that they're likable and, you know, agreeable and have social skills. It just means they're known.
Yeah. Now, we have to go over a couple other things here real quick, a couple quotes. This is from Tumbleson, verbatim. He's talking about Alex Jones. He is incapable of reason. He cannot engage in dialogue, and anyone who challenges his wisdom is a subversive, working for the Illuminati and New World Order.
Listen
well,
to this.
When we questioned Alex Jones, him and Jeff Rentz, what did they say? We're ops. We're working for the CIA.
Yeah.
See how it all works?
Yeah. Jones is incapable of distinguishing fact from fantasy. The reality is that he did get into a fight that he started. He did get his ass whipped like a schoolyard bitch. He did get punched in the nose by Charlie Sotelo, another radio show, access show guy, because Jones wanted Sotelo to lie for him, and when he would not, Jones spit on him.
Yeah.
Call and ask him about the parking lot incident, because he says it's amusing just to hear how Jones reacts to this. He says, Jones has not figured out journalism, accountability, credibility, social skills, production values, nor does he grasp the finer points of integrity nor honor, or the rougher points either for that matter. Gee, you know what? These are really similar observations from then to now.
Yeah, it seems like he hasn't changed even one iota since then. Also, Tumbleson talks about how Jones always has God on his side. Now, this was written in 1999 and 2000. And you know, Lisa, it seems like Alex still has God on his side because God commanded him to bullhorn the Bilderbergs.
Here, talking about Alex again. One of these people with a rich daddy called the FBI to give false allegations about another person who had challenged his rhetoric. He told the FBI this person had terrorist affiliations and child pornography.
Yeah.
So what a sleazy thing.
Yeah. Here's another quote. For those of you who don't know, Jones is an ultra-right-wing uber-patriot who preys upon the feeble-minded by instilling half-truths, lies, and paranoia into them. He then tells them if they don't believe in his and only his way, then they are leftist puppets being used by the United Nations, seculars, liberals, the elite bankers. But then Tumbleson says, be careful not to say the word Jewish. Now, even back then, people were noticing that Alex Jones is running a Zionist protection racket. And guess what Alex Jones is still running in the year 2006? A Zionist protection racket.
Jones accused a guy of stalking him, a guy who didn't like him and who showed up at one of his protests. The guy wasn't bothering him or anything.
Yeah.
He just showed up there. Jones, called the cops, and the cops contacted the guy, and the cops were laughing about it.
Yeah.
And another,
but that's what he called us, Lisa. Remember when we wrote them articles? He would call us stalkers, just like the mainstream media does.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how Alex uses
the same words?
Well, and the same techniques as the mainstream
tactics,
media.
Right. Let's see. One email, supposedly from an insider at KJFK, the radio station Alex was fired from, said that he was fired. The insider said he was fired because he's an immature little punk who cries till he gets his way.
Yeah. Then he talks about Alex being one of these wild-eyed conspiracy theorists. And this is very relevant because South Park recently did an episode, you know, that cartoon show that is satirical of society. Well, it did a show about 9/11, and it referred to all the wild-eyed conspiracy theories and calling them retards and calling them nuts. Well, I have a theory, and I think this is absolutely true. Alex Jones was put in place, and I mean put in place for two reasons. One, he acts like a maniac and a lunatic to make everybody else in this movement that are actually level-headed, good researchers, he acts like a lunatic to make everybody look like a lunatic. Like when he goes on CNN and acts like a freaking nut. Or you remember that time he was on MTV for like 2 or 3 minutes?
Yeah.
The audience or the crowd there was laughing at him because
so was the host.
Yeah, and the host. They were all mocking him and laughing at him. And the second reason he was put in place was to protect the Zionists. This is what the cult members are following.
Yeah. The producers in Austin contended that Alex Jones uses the cable access policy as well as legal maneuvers to intimidate them or get them thrown off the air.
Just like Radio Free Austin, the same exact thing.
Yeah.
Also, you know, who's that? What's that guy, Doyle Shamley? He runs Bill Cooper's show now. He sent us some tapes of Alex Jones prior to Y2K. Alex is ranting and raving like a lunatic that when 2000 comes, everything's going to be chaos. He was even saying stuff that the Russians are going to invade. The whole world's going to be in chaos. The police state, that's when it's going to dawn. And you know what happened, Lisa? Nothing. But he had his people so freaked out and so out of his mind, and he still does the same damn thing today, like that woman we mentioned earlier. She's afraid to leave her house because the FEMA guards are going to come and take her to the concentration camp.
Yeah.
This guy's a lunatic.
His detractors back then were claiming and citing his inability to tell the truth and how he's interested in promoting his website and encouraging people to buy his videos. He does not want to be left alone because he's made claims, I just want to be left alone to do my show.
Yeah.
That's all I want. But they say that's not true. They say he craves any and all attention and will use any attention to draw more people to his website. You mean even attention like, I got arrested at the Canadian border by order of the Bilderbergs. That kind of attention.
His big, abysmal, humiliating, embarrassing publicity stunt.
They even called the chapel building at the Waco compound, you know, that he participated in as a stunt.
Yeah. Here's
and
another.
We called it that too.
Yeah. Another thing. Jones does not offer specific political solutions. His only solution is actually to encourage an ever-increasing paranoia about the world. I know this firsthand. I heard Alex Jones one night on George Norrie's show, and he was ranting and raving about the police state and all this crazy nonsense. And then so a woman calls in, a caller, and she says, okay, Alex, I listened to everything you said. Now, here's the big question. What's the solution? What can someone like me do now? And Alex says, without missing a beat, he says, buy my video.
Yeah.
The only solution Alex Jones has is buy my video. It's pathetic.
And the way he gets you there to that point, to clicking the purchase button on his website, is to ratchet up the paranoia.
It's nothing but fear-mongering.
So you get to start believing that that's the solution.
Yeah.
Buying his video and passing his video around. So now look at all the people that have his videos. And what's the solution? What's being accomplished? What's being done? Except a lot of people are hiding under their beds and freaking out and totally paranoid, hyper-paranoid, freaking out about concentration camps and FEMA camps.
And here's the end result.
Martial law.
Is all the people who are out there working for a living that don't have a lot of free money anyway or a lot of extra money, they end up having less money in their pocket, and Alex Jones ends up having more money in his pocket. Now, you mentioned
that's
before.
That's what happens when you're doing God's work.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned before this quote where it says the anti-Jones camp claims that if a fellow producer crosses Jones, he will watch their program obsessively. Now, one time, I actually talked to Alex Jones 3 times on the phone. The third time was when he kept hanging up on me. But the first time, I spoke to him, and he was actually halfway civil, okay?
Did he know who you were?
Well, here's what... he knew who I was. I mean, how couldn't he? He was well aware of all the articles. And then he's like, yeah, well, you know, I think I've tuned into Wing TV once or twice. You know, I've taken a peek at what you guys did. And I was like, okay, good, Alex. But as the conversation went on, it seemed like Alex Jones knew everything about our show. He was bringing up stuff like, he says, the music, but first he says, hey, I saw that Art Bell spoof you did. Pretty funny stuff. That's when we did, what was that? The exorcism on Art Bell. And then he says, hey, how about your opening music? That's Motley Crue, right? Now, nobody has ever come to us and said that's Motley Crue, because it's a very obscure Motley Crue song. But Alex knew all the...
And it's just about, like, 13 or 16 seconds.
Yeah, so Alex knew the music, he knew the Art Bell spoof, and he was talking about all this other stuff, but he's only seen our site once or twice, you know, because we only get 10 hits on our show. Only 10 people watch it, when in reality we're getting 2 million hits a month now, and a whole lot more people are going to know about the night Alex Jones got his ass kicked.
Well, I just think it's interesting to see someone else who's outside of all this political conspiracy stuff, someone who knows Alex Jones personally and worked with Alex Jones for a while, what their perceptions and observations and experience with him was.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it could be like the same experience of today.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just switch the date. It would be the same experience.
Yeah. Now, ask yourself, as we close the show out, what kind of entity does this thing? They go to the cable access channel with all kinds of obsessive videos to get people thrown off the show. What kind of people has an iron grip over Radio Free Austin to get broadcasters thrown off that he doesn't agree with? What kind of person obsessively censors and deletes the radio archives? And what kind of person goes in and deletes and censors other people's articles without their permission or foreknowledge? I'll tell you who does that.
And why
Alex Jones does it, and Big Brother does it. Alex Jones and Big Brother. Alex Jones is Big Brother.
I'd really like to know about this little FBI relatives part of the story.
Yeah, yeah. Now,
Alex has relatives in the FBI?
Yeah, that he brags about.
About that, Alex?
That he brags about. Now, if there's anybody out there that's brave, it'd be good if they'd call into Alex Jones' show and ask him sometime about the parking lot incident. And first of all, we'll see how quickly they get hung up upon.
Right.
And secondly, we'll see if this ever makes it to the radio show archives or, in true Big Brother style, if it gets deleted and censored.
The parking lot incident. Thank you, Shelley Tumbleson. We're going to try and get Shelley and see if we can get him on the show. I can understand his reticence to not want to engage Alex. The producers there call him a tar baby. You know, once he gets on you, it's hard to get him off you. It's hard to get away from him.
Yeah, and this is from the Austin Chronicle. One last thing is, the most solid link is Jones' claim, made on one of his ACAC shows, that, now this is an exact quote from Alex Jones, I've got the FBI and the Austin Police Department investigating this fight. Who's the narc?
The fight that he started.
Yeah, that he got his ass kicked in. So, the final song we're going to play today is just a little message to Alex Jones. We know Alex, and in this song, the person or the people they're referring to aren't us. A lot of people know Alex, and we'll see what you do with this now. And one last thing, Lisa, we have now physical proof directly tying Alex Jones to all these people that have been attacking Lisa, these cyber stalkers, these pimps, these misogynists, these haters of women, these attackers of women.
These sexual,
freaky, deviant
degenerates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have physical proof now linking them. We've already linked them.
We thank the person who
put it up.
Who got the proof up there on the internet. Obviously, you didn't realize that you were putting a noose around Alex's neck.
Because we already have direct links from these people that we've proven on our site to Jack Blood and to GCN.
Yeah.
Now a direct link to Alex Jones. And folks, you're going to see it for yourself next week. So, this song is dedicated to Mr. Alex Jones. Thanks to Mr. Tumbleson, Shelley Tumbleson,
yes,
for putting this article out.
It's very interesting. The website is synesthetic.com. Yeah. If you email me, I'll give you the link to that.
Well, it's right on the Wing.
We have the text on our website.
Yeah, just go to the Wing TV homepage. Give yourself 15 or 20 minutes. Be ready for some real good laughs.
It's funny.
This is a great article. Until Monday, everybody, thank you for tuning in. Enjoy your weekend and keep your eyes open because, as you've seen, there's a lot going on. And do you want to be a cult member or do you want to be a free thinker?
Have a great weekend, everyone. See you on Monday.